by action is dead. So according to so 1 Corinthians 13:9, it tells us that, so 1 Corinthians 13:9 says that, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. So what this means is that for all the apostles and all the prophets, they only know in part and prophesy in part. So that's why whenever we study the scripture, we have to compare it to what other apostles or what other prophets are saying. So that's exactly what we will be doing with what James has said today, especially when he tells us that faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So now let's compare what James preaches to what Peter preaches, what Paul preaches, what Matthew preaches as well, to gain a deeper understanding. So let's just first look at what Peter says. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, Peter also tells us the exact same thing that James is telling us, that each and every one of us not only needs to have faith, but we also have to have deeds. So starting in verse 5 all the way to 7, it reads, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." So here, the first thing that we need to add to our faith is going to be goodness. So to add to our faith goodness is the same as having deeds along with our faith. So here it tells us that there are seven qualities that we can add to our faith, and what it actually does for us is that it will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. So this is written in verse 8. So in verse 8 it reads, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So if we add on the seven qualities to our faith, and we are both productive and effective, then in the end, what will happen is that all of us will not fall, and instead we will be able to receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is reported in the latter part, so continue on to verse 10 to 11. So that part reads, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Okay, so let's stop here and compare what Peter is saying to James. So first, James is telling us that we need to have faith and also deeds. And so Peter tells us that along with your faith, we need to add these seven qualities. And then the end result is that we will be able to receive a rich welcome. So why is it that we will be able to receive a rich welcome? It's because when we are effective and we are also productive, that means we will be able to bear a lot of fruit. And when we bear a lot of fruit, then we receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. So this is what Apostle Peter is saying. So the second person that we're going to compare what James is saying to another apostle, this apostle would be Paul. So this is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it tells us that, "For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So if we just read verse 8 superficially, it might seem like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 is contradicting to what James is saying. Because James is saying that you have to have faith and also deeds, but Paul tells us that we have to be saved through grace. But what we have to do is we have to study more deeply and know that Paul isn't just telling us that we have been saved by grace through faith. We also have to recognize that Paul is telling us that after we have been saved, in verse 10, that we are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which is also, that means we have to have deeds. And everything, and this good work that we must do has already been prepared in advance for us to do. So here, we can see that when you read the whole section from verse 8 to 10, that Paul is also saying that faith without deeds is dead. Okay. And the thing that Paul adds to what James is saying, just like how Peter adds that we'll receive a rich welcome, Paul is telling us that all of us are equipped to do it. So the third apostle who tells us that faith and deeds go hand in hand is Matthew. So now let's go turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 26. Not every single person who just says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, can go into heaven, but in order for us to go to heaven, we must do the will of God. And then in verse 24 to 27, it further tells us that if we hear God's word, then we do it. This means that not only do we have faith, but we also add to our faith deeds. Then what will happen is that when the storm or danger comes, we will not be destroyed. So now let's go to verse 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. So here it's actually a warning to us that depending on, so first of all of us have faith, but depending on what we do, if we hear God's word and put it into practice, then we won't be destroyed when the storm comes. Whereas if we hear his words and we don't put into practice, so we don't have any deeds to go along with our faith, then in the end, when the storm comes, we will be destroyed. And so that means that we would have wasted all our time. And that means that in the end, we gain nothing from it all. So now let's go back to the book of James. So now we see that it's not only James who preaches this message that faith and deeds go hand in hand. We see that Paul, Peter, and also Matthew preach it as well. And so, well, what else does James tell us in this portion of the scripture? Is that James tells us that it's very important for us to have faith and deeds because this is what separates our faith from the faith of Satan. Because we know that Satan himself believes that in God, but Satan refuses to serve God. So this is taken from James chapter 2, verse 19. So verse 19 reads, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." So what it means is that Satan, he believes in God, but he himself, he disobeys God. And therefore, what he does is he lives in fear and trouble. So that's what the shudder part means. But for us, if we serve God, then we do not live in fear or trouble. So in order to sum up what the four apostles are all saying, is that number one, we cannot only have faith alone, but all of us are called to be Jesus' disciples, not just Jesus' believers. Therefore, we must have action as well as that goes along with our faith. And number two, the very important thing is that what Peter emphasizes on is that we must never enter the kingdom of heaven empty-handed, but we must make sure that we bear a lot of fruit, and so that when we bear fruit, then this is how we also show ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. So this is taken from John chapter 15, verse 8. So this part reads, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So in order to sum up this point, we can also reword it, which means that not only has Jesus Christ been crucified, but all of us must crucify ourselves, and we must follow Jesus to be his disciple. Okay, and then now let's also dig a bit deeper into Jane's message. So if we recall what we heard 2 weeks ago on Pastor John's sermon in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we know that all of us have received the ministry given to us by God, and this is through God's grace. So this is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. So here it reads, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." So first of all, every one of us have received this ministry. But then what happens is that everything depends on what we do with the this ministry. Because when we read the book of Acts, we know that it clearly states that Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, also shared in the ministry. So this is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. So starting verse 16, it reads, "And said, Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry, so that we see from the example." So here, we see from the example of Judas that it is not enough to only receive the ministry, but all of us must also carry out the ministry. And when we carry out the ministry, we're also able to have treasures in jars of clay. So this is recorded recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7. So in verse 7 it reads, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." So first of all, we have the ministry, and after, we also have to make sure that we carry out the ministry and that we also have treasure in jars of clay. Then if we combine it with what we previously learned, then we know that when we do all this, we will not be destroyed. And so if we take a look at what Matthew says, as well as can compare it to what Apostle Paul says here, then we see that what they're saying is the same thing. Because in verse 8 to 9, it reads, "You are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Which means that it's exactly what Matthew chapter 7 is saying as well. That when the storm comes, the wise man who built his house on the rock, his house did not fall with a great crash and was not destroyed. So now let's go back to the book of James. So in order for James to prove his point that faith without deeds is dead, James uses two illustrations to explain it to us. So the first illustration that he used was Abraham, and then the second was Rahab the prostitute. So if we read the book of Genesis, we can see that Abraham's life has been recorded with a lot of detail in this book, and that there's a lot of events that happened to Abraham, and out of all these events that happened, James decided to use the event when Abraham offered his son Isaac to show that Abraham not only had faith, but also had deeds. So in James, he says that James quotes the book of Genesis saying that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what exactly did Abraham believe? So Abraham believed in God's word and God's promises, and this is recorded in Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. So starting verse 4, it reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be.'" And in verse 6 it reads, "Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness." So here we see that God has promised Abraham that he will be a father of many nations, and that a son coming from his own body will be his the heir of all his possessions. So what happened was that after God promised Abraham that he will receive a son, God waited some time, and some time later he actually tested Abraham and asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And what Abraham did was that Abraham showed that he remembered God's promises and believed in God's promise by fearing the Lord and obeying him. So we all know that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son and brought him to the mountain. But why was it that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, even though Abraham himself knew that it is through this son that he will be the father of many nations? The reason is because Abraham believed that even if he offered his son as a sacrifice, God would be able to raise the dead. So this is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. So this reads, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." So here we see that Abraham had faith in God's promises, and he also had deeds. So when God told him to offer his son Isaac, he was willing to do it, and Abraham believed that that God could raise the dead. And we see that it's not just Abraham remembered God's promises when God first spoke to him, and also after he received his son and the promise was fulfilled. Abraham continued to remember God's word, and even later on in his life, he had other children. But before Abraham passed away, he sent all these other children away with gifts and left everything he owned to Isaac. So we see here that Abraham remembered when God told him that that a son coming from his own body will be his heir. So now we see that James chose this incident in Abraham's life to showcase his faith and also his deeds. So the second example that James has chosen is Rahab the prostitute. So here we know that Rahab the prostitute was considered righteous because of what she did, so because of her deeds. So what did Rahab do is that she risked her own life and she hid the spies, and as a result, she was not only able to save her own life, but the lives of her family members as well. So here we see that what happened in Rahab's life is exactly what Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 tells us. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. So here it reads, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, But whoever loses his life for me will find it. So in terms of Rahab the prostitute, she risked her own life, and in the end, she was able to save her life and also all her family members as well. So in the book of James, there is only two examples given. The first one, Abraham, and second, Rahab the prostitute. And another apostle actually talks about faith and deeds as well, and this is Paul. So Paul has a whole list of people who not only have faith but also have deeds, and surprisingly enough, Paul himself also chose to talk about Abraham and Rahab. So in Hebrews chapter 11, Paul mentions many, many different people who have faith and deeds, but I will only pull out three to talk about today. So the first one that we are going to study is Moses' parents. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23, here it talks about what Moses' parents did. So verse 23 reads, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." So here we see that, first of all, Moses' parents remembered what God's word said and remembered his promises and had faith in his promises because they knew that God has promised to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. So by faith, Moses' parents did not kill their own child, and what happened was that so that God could use Moses in the future. So here we see that Moses' parents had faith and also had deeds. And the second illustration is Moses himself. So this is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. So starting verse 24, it reads, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." So here we can see that what Moses' actions were was that he chose not to love the world, but instead he lived by faith. And so the third illustration that we are pulling out from what Paul is saying is going to be Abel. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it talks about Cain and Abel. And in verse 4, it reads, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead." So in terms of Abel and Cain, Abel was the one who made his offering by faith, whereas Cain had a different attitude when he made his offering. Cain's attitude was, when he offered to God, was for God to either take it or leave it, which was not done by faith. So here we see that Paul is also telling us that all these people have faith, but also have deeds and have actions. So I encourage each and every one of us to go and read the entire book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you can get all the illustrations that Paul talks about. So another thing that Paul mentions is that after he talks about all the people who have faith and also have actions, he concludes by saying that all of these people had not yet received what had been promised before they died. So please go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 to 40. So verse 39, it reads, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And also, yeah. So here what it means is that for each and every one of us, what the apostles are telling us to do is we need to live by faith and also have deeds, But we also have to remember God's promises to us and know that we may not be able to receive what has been promised right away. But we have to follow all these people and continue to have faith in God, even though we may not receive what we have been promised before we pass away. So what are God's promises that we must remember? One of them is recorded in Luke chapter 22, verses 28 to 30. So verses 28, it reads, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, just as my Father conferred." In my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So here there's three things that God has promised us. First of all, that we may enter the kingdom of God. And secondly, that we may eat and drink at his table, so attend the wedding supper. And thirdly, to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And what happened here, if we take a look at the verse 27, so the verse right before verse 28, it also tells us to remember that we have to serve one another as Jesus Christ has himself has set this example. So verse 27, it reads, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." So yes, God did promise us these three blessings, and these three blessings are what we will receive in the future. But we also have a task to do on earth, and it is exactly what Jesus himself has set as an example for us to follow, and this is that we need to serve one another. So if we do a quick recap of what we've learned, we know that we have faith and we also have deeds. And this is the only way that we can show that our faith is different from Satan's faith. Another thing that we can show is when we have faith and deeds is that we are not a child of the devil, but instead we are a child of God. So this is recorded in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. So starting verse 7, it reads, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." So first of all, we need to show that our faith is different from Satan and that we are also a child of God. And here, the last part, it also tells us what type of deeds we should do. The deeds mentioned here are to do what is right and also to love your brother. So in terms of our own church, how can we apply what we have heard today, and how can we show that we have faith and deeds? As a first step, all of us should follow what Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says. So starting verse 24, it reads, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So other churches may not have the Word of God, and may not even know what is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, but what they do is that they love to gather together and to have fellowship, and they're very concerned about this matter. Whereas in our church, we have the Word of God, but we are not concerned about gathering together, and we always like to give ourselves excuses, such as, "I'm too tired," or sometimes some people may even say, "I don't like crowds," And so, with all these excuses, it prevents us from gathering together and having fellowship. But if we compare it to what the Bible tells us, it tells us that when we are tired, this is the perfect time to come to prayer meeting and to ask for strength, since all surpassing power comes from God. And this is reported in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So, verse 7 it reads, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So when we are tired and when we do not have enough strength, this is the time we should come to prayer and bring up and say, and ask God for strength and ask God to give us this all-surpassing power." So in conclusion, the main message of today's sermon is from James chapter 2, verse 24, where it tells us that you see that a person is not justified by what he does. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So if we were able to, if we believe that Jesus himself was crucified, we know that we ourselves also have to be crucified with Christ, as recorded in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 reads, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So here it means that not only do we believe in Jesus Christ, but we also have to be a disciple and follow Jesus Christ as well, to be crucified with him. So as a quick summary, recall that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, it tells us that we're all equipped to do good works. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 27, it reads, and it tells us that if we have faith and we have deeds, then we won't be destroyed when the storm comes. Whereas if we do not have deeds, then we will be destroyed when the storm comes. And then also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, it tells us the seven qualities that we have to add to our faith so that we do not become ineffective and unproductive. Instead, we'll be able to bear fruit, bear a lot of fruit, and end up receiving a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So one last message that I would like to leave everybody with today is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24. So here it reads, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." So if we combine what is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with what is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, then we know that in the same way, all of us should serve God in such a way so as to please God and be able to come before God with confidence. And in order to do that, we should follow the example of Paul. And he recorded this example in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 to 27. So in verse 26, it reads, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So I encourage each and every one of us to not only have faith, but also have deeds, and to do our best to try to preach the gospel to our non-believing friends and family members, because without us preaching, they would never be able to hear the gospel. So just as what the apostles did in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 1 they prayed, and then in Acts chapter 2 they preached. So that's all the messages that I want to share for today. So now let's bow our heads in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I thank you for giving us your precious word. I pray that you help us to be wise, and I pray that you help us to put what we have learned into practice. I pray that you give each and every one of us the Holy Spirit, which is not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, of power, and of self-discipline. And I pray that you use each and every one of us as a mouthpiece for you to preach the gospel and to bring non-believers to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to add the seven qualities recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1 to our faith so that we may be productive and effective in our service to you. And in the end, we'll be able to receive a rich welcome. And I also pray that that you help us to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but I pray that you help us to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and help us to encourage one another as we know that the day of your second coming is soon. And I pray that you help us to prepare ourselves like a wise virgin, to not only have a lamp, but oil and jars. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.